You're listening to the Voice of the People on Preston FM 103.2 with me, Des Butler, and me,
Joe Hall.
Well, we've been away for a while, and we hope you've all enjoyed the snow and the winter solstice. As usual, you can send your emails to voiceofthepeople@preston.fm. In this month's show, we're talking mainly about religion and personal beliefs. As usual, I'm here in the studio and Paul is out and about. I believe he's talking to Albert Richardson somewhere in the depths of Preston. So, it's over to you, Paul.
So today is Monday, January the 4th, the year 2010, and I have with me Councillor Albert Richardson. That's correct, isn't it?
That's correct, yes.
Well, of the Labour Party?
Yes, the Labour Party.
Well, how long have you been a councillor for the Labour Party?
I've been a councillor for the Labour Party, and I hope a councillor for the people. That's right, more importantly. And the people in this area have kept electing me for the last 31 years.
That is absolutely fantastic.
It is. It doesn't seem like 31 years. It only seems like 31 years when I look at the gaps that have occurred by people passing on and you think, well, those people were younger than me, you know. And
yeah.
I'm still here and I can't work that one out.
Well, you're not meant to work it out. That's in the hands of... Because we're coming to that in a minute, aren't we? I mean, what is your particular... We talked about it yesterday. You wouldn't actually say you're a Methodist then. You would say you're a Christian.
I'd say, first of all, I'm a Christian. And secondly, Methodism suits me fine.
Is that because...
Because it's direct to God without the rigmarole.
You're talking about the... Without the... empires and everything?
Without the...
So is it John Wesley and his friends and his brother?
That's right.
Cambridge, set up, didn't they?
They thought,
well, hold on, we need to get back to grassroots level and get back to the original message of what Jesus was talking about or something.
Yeah, and I've yet to go down to Westminster Hall and see where Wesley preached.
I'll tell you what, no matter where I've gone, throughout England and Scotland and Wales and stuff, I've been into some really, really strange little villages and towns and stuff like this, including like Robin Hood's Bay, just south of Whitby.
Right.
And there, in a tiny little square, is a Wesleyan chapel.
Yeah.
And then you go to somewhere like across the water from Windermere, you go to Hawkshead, you go into that tiny little square, and then right in the corner there is another tiny little Wesleyan chapel. I mean, he got round a bit, didn't he?
He did.
So he went everywhere, didn't he?
He did, and he did it in the nicest possible way.
On a horse?
Telling people the truth, giving people a message, and it was great. You know?
Right.
It must have been great to be there in those days, building up the church that he built up. And for the people who met in back rooms like this, and then decided that they'd build a little chapel.
Because they're usually quite small, aren't they? They're not splendid gold palaces.
Yeah. And now they've become country cottages, most of them.
Really?
They've been bought by people who wanted second homes and things like that.
Yes, I'm sure John Wesley will turn in his grave.
I think because they've passed the sell-by date, it appears, it doesn't mean to say that there's less Methodists. It means that they've moved on and the little chapel is past its sell-by date. It's still there. People are living in it. But the people have now got cars, so they'll get in the car and they'll drive to a Methodist church further away.
Mm.
Whereas in those days, you needed a little chapel every 5 mile or every 6 mile.
Because you had to walk to it.
Because they had to walk or go on horseback.
Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's God.
that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Money, you've got lots of friends crowding round the door. They don't come no more. Rich relations give crust of bread and such. You can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Pop may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
God bless the child that's got his own. You're
listening to Preston FM 103.2.
The voice of the people. For the people. Bye.
Most Methodists were...
When was that? Was that the early 1800s?
It irritates me a little bit in this town because the Free Methodists...
What does that mean? So immediately they start dividing.
They start dividing.
Why is that? Is that the natural order of our species?
Well, on the surface, if I look at the Free Methodists in Preston, or this area, it's mainly this area where the Free Methodists exist. And the only reason that they went free, because I don't know whether it was 30, 40, 50 years ago, there was talk that we were all going to join back to the Church of England. Mm-hmm. We were having talks with the Church of England. So the Free Methodists broke away. They then weren't Free Methodists. Certain Methodists said, well, we don't even want to talk to the Church of England. We're breaking. But of course, nothing happened. It all fell through.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you'd think they would have come back.
Yeah.
But they didn't, because unlike John Wesley, who got on his horseback and made a new ism, you know. They didn't. All they did was that they'd broken away, so they thought, well, we'll call ourselves the Free Methodists. But free for what? What
yes, indeed, free from what?
You know, because there's no danger there now. What we're trying to do, the Christians, I hope, is talk to each other and just become one church under God. And okay, if we have to live under one roof,
which we do, call the sky,
then if someone to go and live in that corner, and some in that corner, which is what we're doing now, but we've got all these little leaders.
Yes.
And if they fall out with each other, then...
they run back to their own churches.
Yeah, so
I... yeah, but that's the same as politics, not just religion, isn't it?
But the Free Methodists, by the way, if you look at it on their car park, you will see beautiful cars and Land Rovers.
Yes.
You name it. Lots of money. On the Methodist church...
yes.
We haven't got this...
horses and carts.
Or people walking or catching a bus, you know. We don't have... we do have wealthy people in the Methodist church, or the Methodist church, mm. and we have very poor people. It appears that the Free Methodists won't accept the people who you and I associate with.
Why?
Well
I thought that was against the principles of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I've never been to a Methodist service. The Free Methodist service, so I shouldn't condemn them. And I should,
well, you're not condemning them. What you're doing is raising this issue.
They've built their church, back end of Fulwood,
yeah.
up there somewhere, right? It's yeah. a nice church on the outside. They've extended it recently. It's very nice. When, I know Jesus, when he was preaching, went to different things. But I'm sure that we need a church, a Methodist church, here in the east end of town.
And you don't have one?
We do, and I attend it.
Well,
but we could do with them coming down and kneeling before God next to me and next to the poor people and next to the old folk who are living on fixed incomes, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we could do with. But we've got this separation.
Yeah.
Which...
well, then that seems, Albert, that seems to exist, though. In that doesn't seem to matter what particular religion it is, because one of the oldest religions on earth is Hinduism. And Hinduism, you would have thought, given such a wonderful philosophy, you know, you would have thought, well, yeah. it must be absolutely marvellous that they're all praying together and they're all in meditating together. Yeah. But they don't. They have a class system, second to none. There are people, when you say that the Methodists over in Fulwood should come to the new Methodists should stand beside the Methodists here and with the poor people, in India, under a wonderful philosophy like Hinduism, they have, when we talk about the poor, they call them the untouchables. They won't even touch them, let alone stand beside them and pray.
Yeah,
so what we're talking about here is to do with the human condition, to do with, so we have religion. The problem is we seem to have religion, and then we have human behaviour. And there's something essential or a flaw within our behaviour as a species whereby, yes, we can all talk about loving and seeing each other as one, as all being equal, all being a creation of God. But then when it comes into reality of living on a day-to-day basis and in our towns and our villages and our cities of this world, what we do is we actually don't see it that way at all, or we don't live like that. What we do is we divide and separate, and almost like a tribe, we go towards our own separate part, identify with that, and not really want to come together as one. Even though all the great prophets, be them Buddha or Jesus Christ, talked about this one whole,
that's right.
holistic whole. Do you think we as a species then can ever get over this little problem?
Yeah, I think we can.
How?
We have to get over it.
We do, don't we?
We have to definitely get, because if we don't get over it...
we will get over it, because we'll be forced to get over it.
We've got to get over it.
Do you wanna know?
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
But in Jesus' time, I suppose the untouchables were classed as like the lepers.
That's
right. There were leper colonies. Like there was a leper colony in Preston, supposedly on the site of St. Warburg's Church.
Yeah.
Supposedly there was a leper colony there, wasn't there? And then in the Magdalen area.
Yeah, yeah.
And in some way, this... There would have been people in Preston then that would have ministered and helped those people. Once again, coming back to what you said before, this key word, there is love and there is fear.
Yeah.
And when people fear something, be that the fear of an untouchable people or leprosy or the fact that they see another church or religion as being a threat to their own, so they're not. It's not to do with love, it's to do with fear, isn't it?
That's right, it's...
Yeah.
I,
and that's what causes the separation and division, isn't it? Fear. I believe it is fear and ignorance that's causing that separation. Because if it was love, they would unite and come together. No matter what church, no matter what they call themselves, they would understand that everything is a creation of God. Therefore, they love all things. Therefore, it doesn't matter where you go. Because like as I'm sat with you now, I know that the room and the space that I'm in and the human being that you are a creation of God.
I mean, the...
Aren't you? You must be.
Well, we all are, yeah. Well, I believe all you... I think everything on this earth is a creation of
God. And in the universe.
Yeah, and in the universe, you're right. But it's fear created by strength, but it also money has a lot to play. I mean, if you look at India now, there was that Slumdog Millionaire thing. He won the lottery, whatever he won, and he was an untouchable, I believe, or something like that. Once he got that money...
Yes, he was no longer untouchable. Everybody wanted to touch
him. So, forget the untouchable. But when he was living in the slum, in that, there were certain people in India wouldn't look at him.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't even go anywhere.
Now, I've not even seen the film, but that happens.
Yeah.
And that's happening now in India.
Yeah.
And Boyle, who made that film, I only hope people look at it seriously and see the message that man, that filmmaker, is giving to people. You know, that... These people, however poor they are, and however stinking they are, and however people cross the road or when they're begging in the streets of Preston, you know, they're nice people.
Well, they're a creation of
more importance. And that's right, They're just us, but wearing different clothes.
And they find it difficult to survive, and they may not have... They may not have had the opportunities,
or
they may have made the wrong.
They
may have made the wrong decisions somewhere in their lives. They may have a lot of fear in their lives, but either way, they're still an aspect of ourselves. You know, it's very yes, indeed.
So
but then nothing's really changed, though, is it? Because the prophet that you were guided by, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, the exact same analogy of Slumdog Millionaire was in existence, which is why Jesus Christ goes into the temple, loses his temper, shocks all the tables and all the money, hits people on the head with a stick, shouts at all the Pharisees and the Sadducees dripping
that's
in gold, and said, "You will never get into the kingdom of heaven." And no wonder they then crucify him. For 2,000 years, and now we're entering the 21st century, do you think, after all these great prophets, after all this evolution, and now... the 6.5 billion of us on the planet, do you think we have the potential, or it would indicate around the world at the moment, as we're just about to begin this year, that we are going to learn and we are going to become one?
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to do that?
Well, that's right. I think Wesley set off on the right road by chucking all these things out of the churches and chapels and just... four walls, and that's the house of God. That's all you want. You don't want crown jewels in it and this, that, and the other. You know, that isn't what God's about.
I can't see the Vatican getting rid of their gold, though, can you?
Well, it's got to do something. If it, every church has got a leader, but I wouldn't like to think that the Pope or any leader is any better, and I don't think the Pope puts himself as better than one of the least in our society, which we call the least. I think every leader, Archbishop of Canterbury and the chairman of the Methodists at any given time, they are as equal as anybody in that church. But their lifestyle is not equal. That they are living in the lap of luxury all the time.
Thanks to Albert for that insightful discussion on his personal beliefs. Next, we got an interview from Robin and Edith on the nature of spirituality and the true message of Christianity. But before that, we got a bit of satire lifted from YouTube by Marcus Brickstock.
I'd like to start this week with a request, and this one goes out to the followers of the three Abrahamic religions, to the Muslims, Christians, and Jews. It's just a little thing, really, but do you think that when you've finished smashing up the world and blowing each other to bits and demanding special privileges while you do it, do you think that maybe the rest of us could sort of have our planet back? I wouldn't ask, but the thing is, I'm starting to think there must be something written in the special books each of you so enjoy referring to that tells you it's all right to behave like precious, petulant, pugnacious pricks. Forgive the alliteration, but your persistent power-mad punch-ups are pissing me off. It's mainly the extremists, obviously, but not exclusively. It's a lot of mainstreamers as well. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, okay? Muslims. Listen up, my bearded and veily friends. Calm down, okay? Stop blowing stuff up. Not everything that's said about you is an attack on the Prophet Muhammad and Allah that needs to end in the infidel being destroyed. Have a cup of tea, put on a Cat Stevens record, sit down and chill out. Chill out. I mean, seriously, what's wrong with a strongly worded letter to the Times? You and your churches don't get to be millionaires while other people have nothing at all. They're your bloody rules. Either stick to them or abandon the faith. And stop persecuting and killing people you judge to be immoral. Oh, and stop pretending you're celibate as a cover-up for being a gay or a nonce. Right, that's two ticked off. Jews! I know you're God's chosen people and the rest of us are just whatever, but when Israel behaves like a violent psychopathic bully and someone mentions it, that doesn't make them anti-Semitic. And for the record, your troubled history is not a license to act with impunity now. So, when the letters come, and I'm guessing they will, I can guarantee that each one of those faiths will be utterly convinced that I've singled them out for special criticism.
Why did it have to be us? Islam is a peaceful faith.
I don't see what's wrong with being Christian. We're a peaceful, loving faith.
How dare you, after all we've been through? We Jews know how terrible violence can be.
You see, all of them will be convinced that they're the ones being picked on. The Abrahamic faiths are like Scousers. They're always convinced they have it harder than everyone else. Right, and why is it that all of these faiths claim to be peaceful when even the most fleeting glance at a history of warfare will tell you otherwise? The relationship religion and warfare is very similar to the relationship between Ant and Deck. You could have one without the other, but I'm not sure anyone would see the point. I wouldn't actually like it, but it would at least be refreshing to hear one of them come out and say,
"Oh, our faith's violent as you like. We'll have a scrap, us lot, we do. Honestly, our special book says fight, fight, kill, maim, fight, smash, destroy, fight, murder, kill, and fight. That's why I signed up, to be honest. I'm a bit naughty, know what I mean?"
But no, all of them claim to be peaceful religions. Yeah, peaceful right up to the point where someone takes something they think is theirs or says the wrong thing or looks at them funny, then it's fighty, smashy, kicky, punchy all the way. I know this will upset a lot of people, and frankly, I don't care. I'm getting so sick of religious people screwing it up for the rest of us. Please don't kill us. Seriously. As far as I'm concerned, this is the only chance we get. When we die, it's all over. There's no virgins and pearly gates waiting for us, no big beardy man saying...
Right, so how do you think that went then? bit mixed? Killed a lot of people in my name, I see. Yeah, not really what I had in mind, actually. Tell you what, have another go as a worm.
Well, while we're at it, I'm sick of religious people forcing their children to define themselves by their parents' faith. A four-year-old is no more a Christian of the Postal Workers Union.
We want a fair working wage, decent working conditions, and time allotted to see the new Transformers film.
Said a spokesman.
This week, Lydia Playfoot, who took Millais School in Horsham to the High Court so she could wear jewellery to prove she's staying a virgin for Jesus, lost her case. Good. I'm glad. I don't care how many times her parents claim it was her idea. Rules is rules. And if you want to wear a ring that tells everyone you're not having any sex, you can get married like the rest of us. Now, the lawyer for the chaste Miss Playfoot said a question the judge would have to answer was,
what are the religious rights of schoolchildren in the school context?
Well, I'm no judge. Not yet, anyway. But if you want my opinion, none. No rights. No religious rights whatsoever. School's for learning. Okay, if you want to have a little pray before maths so that God will prevent Mr. Figgis from setting too hard a test or prevent the PE teacher from being a colossal pervert, then go ahead. Fill your boots. If you want to pop on a feathered headdress and chant and mumble and sacrifice something, you can do that in like a drama course and pretend it's art. Get a degree in it. That's what I did. The lawyer, Mr. Diamond, argued,
secular authorities cannot rule on religious truth.
Well, Mr. Diamond, I'm going to assume you're not related to the Neil Diamond, because he rocks. Yes, I like Neil Diamond and Prince. And I'm married, go figure. But my point is, religious truth is a foxy one, because religion, by its very nature, doesn't tend to concern itself with truth. There simply isn't time for truth. By the time all the singing and candle lighting and toadying and condemning and hiding from science is done, truth's given up and gone to the pub for a pint. Here's the truth, right? Faith is about as interested in truth as I am in hanging out with Anthony Worrell Thompson, i.e. not very. Now, I know that most religious folk are moderate and nice and reasonable and wear tidy jumpers and eat cheese like real people. And on hearing this, they'll mainly feel pity for me rather than issue a death sentence. But they have to accept that they are the power base for the nutters. Without their passive support, the loonies in charge of these faiths would just be loonies, safely locked away and medicated. Somewhere nice, you know, with a view of some trees where they can claim they have a direct channel to God between sessions making tapestry drinks coasters, watching Teletubbies and talking about their days in the Hitler Youth. The ordinary faithful make these vicious, tyrannical thugs what they are. See, I get very angry that shows like Big Brother and Celebrity Insert Title of Wretched Show Here still fill our lives with vapid, pointless emptiness, and I wish the producers and development executives would crawl back under the rocks they emerge from. But the truth is, they sell stuff that people consume. Without the audience to prop it up, Heat Magazine and fundamentalist religious fanaticism goes away. Imagine what humanity might be capable of if we had that much spare time. We could explore space properly, have a decent look in the sea, find a cure for James Blunt, anything. Thank you very much. Letters to the usual address.
The formula for heaven, very simple. Just follow the rules and you will see. And as life travels on and things do go wrong, just follow steps 1, 2, and 3. Step 1. And hold her tightly. Yeah, that sure seems like heaven to me. Now there are 3 steps to heaven. Just listen and you will plainly see. Just follow steps 1, 2.
two, and three. Step one, you found a girl you love. Step two, she falls in love with you. Step three, you kiss and hold her tightly. Yeah, that sure seems like heaven to me. Just follow steps one, two, and three.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
It's this thing about monotheistic religion. How do we get Catholics who, and I'm not just talking about Catholics, I'm talking about any monotheistic religion, how do we get these people to meet at the table as one people, as one idea, with, say, like Islam?
How can you... I think you're going to have to start thinking as Christians first.
Well, what does that mean? What's the difference between Christians?
Well, they're all supposed to be worshipping one God.
Yes. But they shall call it different names.
Okay, that's what they're worshipping, and that's our God, that's what we're worshipping. Right, what's the message? What is the message?
The essential message.
Right, let's start looking at it. Well, I don't like praying about it that way. Okay. Let's say your prayer. And then what about you? Okay, we'll say yours and yours and yours. And they've got big enough churches to take different ones, and they've got altars all over. They can go and pray at their altar. And then they'll mix together after, go and have a cup of tea and a piece of cake. And get
the, well, when we come to principles like the nature of God and the principles of, especially when you get, there's so many people walking the earth now who think, you know, divinity's moving through them and they're the next prophet. So you get David Koresh or otherwise, you know, God's talking through me. People, this is a very personal thing, isn't it? It's sort of, what you're saying is to almost be rational about this, to find some common ground or common purpose or common denominator between all the different religions, which, of course, the common denominator is intelligence. If you want to call it that, if you want to go there, hug a tree, go to a church, it doesn't matter, seeing God is all things. But other people don't see it like that. Other people who think that their particular religion and way of seeing, and the fact they think God's speaking to them and only them, they actually say things like, this is the word of God, the only word of God, and the only path. Now, the minute you say that it's the only path, that immediately means that all of the paths must be wrong. And how do we say to people?
Well, because they've got to learn to be reasonable and talk and listen and talk to each other.
Go on, Robin. Sorry, Robin.
No, because you're talking about getting a single understanding through intent, and it's not the only thing. Really, is getting them all sitting in the silence. Never mind, because when they get into that. At a certain level, there is no difference. It's only on the periphery that the difference is. As they become nearer to the centre, there is no difference.
No.
So it doesn't matter what they are. So, if you could get them all sitting in silence, they would experience God, each in their own way, but there'd be a common denominator in the middle.
What is the common denominator?
Himself.
Or it self.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, but the thing is, the thing in the centre, whatever, be it in the centre, on the or everywhere, because it's such a personal thing, people, and it's so abstract and metaphysical, people, that's why it's so important, that's why people are so willing to kill each other. I mean, how paradoxical and ironic that one minute people are talking about God, and the next minute, It's obviously that powerful that they're actually willing to kill each other all over the world for it.
But it's because they're using their heads and not
instead
their
of their souls or their hearts. Do you believe the common denominator is not utilising intelligence? You believe the common denominator is just to be quiet? And then the answer...
Each will experience it in their own way.
Yeah, but then that comes back to the problem that Ethel mentioned earlier, that the actual forces upon this earth at the moment, they are actually not moving towards quietude and silence. They're actually moving in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Which there's even more, like you were saying about the sound you were feeling from the digital TV, and so there's this cacophony of sound, and everything's getting faster and faster. Therefore, if we were to just project into the future over the next few years or something, where we would like to see more and more people sitting in whatever way they want to be, it's in temples, on the side of a hill, or whatever, in silence and meditation, as it were, more and more people are not going towards that. They're actually going towards noise.
Yeah, yeah.
So that doesn't sound good, does it?
But, you know, like I said before, because everybody's working at a different level. The more people that you can get working at the level, there is a unity there, really. Mm-hmm. All the great religions, if you really get to the real essence of them, they're all saying the same thing. their interpretation of the, is different, but they're actually, it's all the same. When you get to the centre point, there is no difference.
Which is to do with love.
It's the outside where the differences occur. In the middle, there's, so it doesn't matter whether you're a Hindu or a Buddhist or what have you. When you get to that level, there is no difference. You can all meet as brothers. You're all saying the same thing.
You're listening to Preston FM 103.2.
The voice of the people. For the people. By the people.
So do you believe in reincarnation?
Oh, I do.
Do you believe in reincarnation? Or do you believe, Ethel, that there is a, when you finished in this place here? Sorry, if you don't mind me asking, but how old are you now?
How old am I?
Yes.
I'll be 93 next month.
93? Mm. Fantastic. So where are we now? So what year would that be, 93?
Well, I've been ill all year since this... Well, I was all right just after last Christmas. And...
So you were born in
1917.
So right in the middle of the First World War and stuff. You were born right in the middle of the First World War.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And then you experienced also the Second World War.
I think I was in the First World War. Yeah. I think I got knocked out.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that many things have convinced me that I was somebody gave me away. I must have been doing something and
well, you should trust your intuition. You know, if you...
Somebody...
It's like a dream, isn't it?
Stabbed me in the back.
Yes, I've had that dream.
And I think I rushed back quick to try and... But I don't think I ever did.
All this spirit needs helping and stuff.
No, I had it put to me some years ago. And I believe it's true that you come back, if you have to come, if you have... But... Where the spirit leaves the body,
yeah.
Where you know you could live one place, and you could be some miles away on holiday, and where the spirit leaves the body, that's where you've got to come back. That's what you're prepared to do there.
Yeah.
You'll come back there and do what you've got to do there.
Yeah.
I think you've shown a need, and you know that you.
And that was a real old,
I think you're more or less
old medium. She was a real medium.
I think you're more or less kicked back in, but I think you've a certain measure of choice that they say, well, look, you know, they put it to you in a very nice way. Look, I mean, there's all this that you see that the harvest is great and the labourers are few, and we could just do with somebody down there just getting people out of shop doorways and on cold winter nights and that. There's nobody else to do it. If you don't go around there, there's nobody going to find that old fellow in the middle of winter there and.
In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Lord, give me a sign, for this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and that righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. Lord, give me a sign. I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown, and I'm still going through it. Pain and the hurt, soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind. Lord, give me a sign. Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do. Lord, give me a sign. Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he's frightened. Crying about life ain't nothing. But you either be
trap of the one-handed. Trapped in your own mind, waiting on the Lord. Yeah. A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations, you never let us down, Jesus. I know you're here with us now, Jesus. I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I want to feel, show me how. Please let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow, but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Life or death, live or die. I will never live a lie. I'm gonna get because I try.
What?
I won't quit until I die.
What?
I'm gonna make it wrong or right.
Yeah.
Make it through the darkest night.
Yeah.
When the morning comes, you'll see all I have is God.
Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Do you have any fear at all of death?
Oh, no.
No? Do you, Ethel?
What?
Do you fear death at all?
Fear it?
Yeah.
Well, there's not much point. I've got it.
But I mean, with respect to your...
Just get on with it.
Just get on with it, absolutely. Or let it get on with it. The thing is that because you have a great sense of faith within yourself?
Because you've been there many times.
I just wonder...
Been there before.
I just wonder... as I've said about... I wonder where I'll be.
Next.
When what is me, where the real me, takes off.
It's quite exciting, really, isn't it? It's
well,
like
it
going
is.
All this fantastic
it
journey.
I mean, it's, you know, you could, what could you... I know, when we went to go to Ireland, we go to Clan MacNoise, don't we? Well, we did, and we didn't go there last year. We couldn't
Paul,
go.
That's Clan MacNoise, that statue, have you seen that?
That pilgrim.
Oh, that beautiful picture there.
Yes. We were walking around the grounds, a lovely ground, and you look of the Shannon River. We were walking around, and I said to Ambrose, I said, I'd like to be buried here. And he said, yes, I can understand why you would want to be buried. It's a beautiful place. And he said, mind you, he said, you'd cause a furore. I said, why? Why do you say that? He said, well, he said they're all priests and not the divers. I said, we like them, you
fantastic.
But,
and that's in Ireland?
Hmm?
That's in Ireland?
Yeah, it's down by the Shannon River. It's one of the old monastics.
Do you think it's important where you're buried?
Important to...
Do you think when we die, do you think it's important where we're buried, our bodies? Is it spiritually important
in
some way?
I think you might die. Say you die in Ireland, but they bring your body back. Your body, but it's the spirit, the real you.
Yeah.
There, that's just the coating that was given to you.
Yeah.
This coating that was given.
Well, we think
to
we
you.
Were blown to
try
bits.
Try some size. Like, get back there and get that done. You know, you could get that. Ooh.
Did you just do your knee?
I know.
Look at that there. Sure.
But that's the reality, isn't it? Do you
yeah.
see? That's, you know, that's the rare. But people don't like reality, do they? It's uncomfortable. But you're stuck with it, aren't you?
But that's strange. They say they don't like reality, they feel uncomfortable. And yet they sit in front of TVs every day watching EastEnders. Millions of people watch EastEnders and stuff like that. And all it is a continuous barrage of people being nasty to each other and shouting and stuff like that. They then watch loads of news about big wars and bombs going off and poor children dying everywhere and women and everything. But in some way, so they can absorb and watch all these things, They watch people being destroyed on X Factor just when they were going to be a star and then just didn't get through. So they get all this sort of... They say that they can't handle reality, and yet they sit and watch the most negative aspects of reality continuously. So you would have thought, well, maybe that would have battle-hardened them and prepared them for reality, when in fact it doesn't seem to have that effect at all. It seems to desensitise them, take them away.
I think people have got really desensitised.
Do you think so?
Oh, I do, because, I mean, I can remember seeing something like one of these... supplements from the papers from the First World War, and there were people hanging there, you know, and I thought, never seen anything. And yet, in between that, you've seen it, actually, people dying on... I think people have just sort of... You know, it just doesn't touch them in the same way at all.
You're listening to Preston FM on 103.2, the voice of the people.
I mean, do we really want to be taking a sort of a spiritual resonation within ourselves, which is totally desensitized, doesn't know where it is, doesn't know where it's going, I mean, it's just like a totally, it's sort of not got any real sense of purpose, has it? There's a lot of people...
Well, don't you think there's a lot of people being born today that are like that?
Really, I do, and I think it's absolutely tragic. And I actually find the people running it all absolutely disgusting, because they're like casting a spell on people.
They're like really,
and taking,
really primitive people walking around in sophisticated environments.
Absolutely.
And they, I mean, they haven't even got... I mean, a lot of the really primitive people living in very basic conditions had a wonderful background culture and understood nature and that. But these are like... They're less than that, even. They're like savages.
Yeah, but they don't think they are. They think that they're highly cultured, intellectual, and they've got everything into... You know, whereas we were talking very much in the metaphysical sense about the nature of the cosmos or the universe being this eternal unfolding sort of consciousness. They don't see it that way. They see everything as being almost like binary. Everything can be put into boxes. Everything can be ordered. Everything, you know, and then you're born, you live, you die. That's your box. End of... I mean, we're taking out almost the soul and the joy and the mystery of and the love of life. It's all becoming like some form of computer program, which is very convenient for the people in charge, or think they're in charge, because then they can just control and order things, just like animals in a farm or in a pen. That's what they're trying to do.
Lots of it's about, isn't there?
Well, there is, but it won't last. Everything reaches, as it were, critical mass points, and then there will be this change, which, you know, you were saying...
Well, we used to have an old fellow that visited us, and he said, it's proper near two.
It's what?
Proper near two, he used to say to me. Didn't he, Cromwell?
How long did he say that for?
Well, he died eventually, but he used to visit... He used to visit me. He used to come down on his bicycle, but he was a strange man. He was looking for some missing millions in his family that had gone walkabout. And he used to bring me all the documents appertaining to all this missing money. But he always used to say he was quite a spiritual man in a funny sort of way. And he used to say, "It's proper near to is a proper near to."
But things are moving so fast now, and they're pushing children so. So much, they're pushing them too much, really.
Training.
But everything is moving so fast. There's going to be a revelation that will take people's breath away. They won't be able to handle it.
I totally agree with you.
I'll tell you, there's going to be world-stopping revelation.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you, it'll move their scalps.
And their souls.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Christians would call that, or they call that the rapture, don't they? Or they would call it the... Second coming or whatever. Well, I mean, there's many different names for it, isn't there?
They'll handle it better than most. But
do you think because they've been preparing for it?
Yes, it's. It'll.
And how long do you think? Ethel, how long do you think?
People never. They'll find out things they never dreamed of.
Absolutely, but do you think that's going to happen?
There are things going on that they never dream of.
And how long are we talking about? Are we talking the next 50 years or the next two or three?
Oh, not very long.
A couple of years?
Proper soon. That,
proper, proper soon?
Proper soon, yeah. Proper soon, yes. Quicker
well,
than
you see, they're all... I mean,
before
like
they can take their breath. And it's not just one. It won't come in one. It'll... And they won't be able to handle it.
Indeed.
Too quick for them.
The mathematics is quite
sublime.
Too
quick for them.
Absolutely.
And I think I've seen... do you know that young woman that is on Britain's Got Talent, Susan?
No, I don't.
That's one that... I don't know her other
name. She's in America
Sue,
now or something.
Call her. The girl that sings about her dream. I watched it with her... And she dreamed about being successful. She was singing. She liked singing, and it's nearly destroyed her.
Mm.
They've nearly drained her dry.
Well, the singing hasn't destroyed her. The system has destroyed her. The money system.
And I mean, the talent's there. The personality. She can handle it. But the way that, and I thought, yes, and that's the way it's going to be. They're going to drive, and they'll drive so hot, it'll come back and hit them in the face. They won't be able to handle it.
So they keep blowing this balloon up until eventually it has to pop.
Won't be able to handle it.
See, we've got time to escape, or I mean, we're at the right end, right?
Well, no, there is no escape because ultimately, as you were saying before about facing reality clearly in the face, that's all part of the journey and all part of our learning.
Yeah.
Painful and suffering as it is, there is no escape because energy isn't like that. How can you, if we're energy and everything is energy, which part of energy we were thinking of escaping to? What, that room? Across the park? That's why people commit suicide. People commit suicide because they think they want to escape. They can't take any more. I see it all the time. I talk to people. 1 minute I talk to one lad, the following week I see him, he tries jumping off a bus at Preston bus station. And then I try to say to him, listen to me, my friend, you know, I know you're going through terrible pain and suffering, but there's no real escape. There's no escape from these. We need to sort it out now. Now is the time.
And one of the things I think about, is it all going to be a power thing, you see?
Yes, yes. Oh, they're all gathered at the table, aren't they?
If Christians can drop this, you're a this and I'm a that business, which is a load of rubbish anyway. If you just think about it, if they get together as Christians, they're worshipping the one thing, that's their God, whether they go to that verse or that or whatever.
Yeah.
If they get together and they become one, you're talking about a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
You get people together of one mind and you get families, PowerPoints, communities are PowerPoints, churches, religions are PowerPoints.
Yeah. Communities, everything, yeah.
Communities, trade unions, PowerPoints, people together of the same mind, power.
Yeah.
They've destroyed the trade unions, New Labour.
Yeah.
That, and they're working on the church, they're working on Christianity.
Yeah. The thing is, though, Ethel, that if we have unity, then we have strength and power. And the people at the top do not want us to have unity.
They want
to divide and rule is the key. They need to keep us, but the problem is, it's like them trying. There's so many holes in the boat now. They're trying to cover up the holes.
That's right.
That's why it's going faster and faster.
You see, it's like a big balloon.
Correct.
They keep blowing it and blowing it and pushing it and pushing it, and when it explodes,
they forgot one thing: God. They forgot that they were not gods.
When
they were only humans.
That's when the what's the name hits the fan.
Absolutely.
My sweet Lord, my Lord, my sweet Lord. Really wanna be with you. Really wanna see you.
Thank you.